ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവിദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിഥിലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീൽ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേംസഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൌര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗുരുരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമുഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ദിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗ്രഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സംകീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ച അർത്ഥേഷു അഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവൈ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാം നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാനമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ഹാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തി കലവേണു കൊണിതാദൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരിം കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികഥോ ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ
If you can just move forward a little bit, please. You can come up.
Satyasya de sudusham alpanam alpanonyam Vaktvaramisha vibhudayesha vinanu chakshe Sarve vimohida dhyasavamaya yesha ബ്രഹ്മാദയ സ്തനുഭൃതം ബഹിരർത്ഥഭാവാഹം തസ്മാൽ ഭവന്തം അനവദ്യമനന്തപാരം സർവജ്ഞമീശ്വരമകുണ്ഠ വികുണ്ഠലിഷ്ണ്യം നിർവിണ്ണധി അഹമുഹവ്രജനാഭിതപ്തോ നാരായണം നരസഖം ശരണം പ്രപദ്യേ.
കാൻറ്റു 11 ചാപ്റ്റർ 7 വേഴ്സസ് 17 and 18. ഉദ്ധവ ടോക്കിംഗ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ. That is those two words, verses.
Satyasya de sudrisham alpanam alpanonyam Samvattaramisha vipudeshu binanu jakshe Sarve vimohidadiyya tavamaya yesha Brahmadayasthanuprudo bihirarthabhavaham Tasmad bhavandamanavadyamanandavaram Sarvajyamishramakunda vikhundadishnyam Nurvinnadi ahamuhavrajanavidapto narayanam Narasakham sharanam prabadhyem.
Uddhava, after hearing from Krishna the first instruction starting from Tundu Sarvam Parityajya onwards, Uddhava acknowledging the fact that although I have lived here 112 or 115 years with Krishna, still he says, I am a mudha. Uddhava is answering to Krishna, because I have not realized the truth. What was the point in living in this world for so long? Ultimately, if the realization has not happened of the one's own identity, the self-realization hasn't happened, then it is considered to be a waste of time as far as Krishna is concerned. And Uddhava is also confirming the same thing here. And after that, when Krishna, Uddhava replied to him, so earlier we have seen four things Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, isn't it? Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajanabandhushu. That is one. Mayavishya mana. That is the second one. Samyak, third one. And Samadrak, the fourth one. And Krishna says to Uddhava, you can walk in this world in that consciousness. So first one, Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bindushu. To give up the attachment to all the world, worldly objects, friends, relatives, everything. That attachment has to be broken even while before, instead of material nature forcing us to leave that attachment, Krishna says one should give up that attachment before one leaves this body. So, in order to do that, the Dattatreya episode is spoken in the next coming few verses. And you will see at the end of all these things, Krishna also says, Samadrik Vijarasvagam. He says, Samadrik. That equal vision, ultimately that is the goal, to reach that state of consciousness where one is able to see equal, everyone equal. Everyone equal in the sense, on a material level, on a material bodily concept of life, it is not possible to see everything equal. Because by creation itself, Krishna has created all of us different. Each one of us are different. Our bodies are different. Our vasanas are different. Our karma is different. And our material conditions are different. They are not going to change. So to see everything on an equal level, on a material platform is not possible. But on the other hand, what Krishna is saying to Uddhava is, Samadrik, that equal vision is the same thing what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita also. In Bhagavad Gita, what did Krishna say? Vidya vinaya sampane brahmane gavi hastini shuni chaiva shubhageja pandita samadarshina. That samadarshinam or samadrik is the same thing what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They are not different. So this reaching the state of consciousness when one is able to see everything on an equal platform, that means to see Krishna's presence in every living entity. That is the equality. There is Krishna present in every living entity. And when one sees that, then he is on an equal platform. Otherwise, whatever we may do in this world, it is not possible to make everything equal. Because when Krishna created us, he has already made us in a different way. So there is no possibility of we trying to go against that. But equality is only possible on the spiritual platform. When we realize that we are spirit soul and we see Krishna's presence in other living entities also as the spirit soul. So that is the goal in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Having heard this, then Uddhava is saying to Krishna that I am so fortunate that I have found someone who knows the truth. That was the way Uddhava has acknowledged. Why? Brahmadaya sanibhruto bahirartha bhavaha. That including Lord Brahma, they are under the influence of Maya. They are even under the influence of Maya. Bahirartha bhava. Bahirartha bhava means that this vision, which is contaminated by the influence of Maya. Therefore, Brahmadaya sanibhruto bahirartha bhava. Even including Brahma cannot instruct me on these things. So, just shows that Uddhava has understood that what kind of person should instruct? What kind of person should instruct? Otherwise, that instructions will not have any effect. Normally, we tend to think that any instruction is possible. No, the realized soul should instruct. Only from a realized soul, if you accept the instructions, that instructions will have any impact on the person who is receiving it. This is a very important point. The principle of the Guru Tattvam, if you read through Bhagavatam, you will notice that this is very much stressed here. And that's what Uddhava is also acknowledging here. So when Uddhava said, Tasmad Bhavandam Anavadyam Anandaparam Sarvajnyam Isharam Akunda Vigunda Krishnam, that Krishna's position, he is explaining there that Sarvajnyam Isharam, he is Sarvajnya, he knows everything. And he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Akunda Vikunda Rishnim, who lives in Vaikuntham. Nirvinnadi Ahamoha Vrajanabhidapto. And my situation, Uddhava says, I have completely acquired the detachment what is needed from the material world. Vrajanabhidapto. And I have also, by scrutiny, I have realized that the material existence is a miserable existence. It has no factually any meaning. Narayanam Narasakham Sharanam Pravadye. To that Krishna, I pay my obeisances, and Uddhava takes complete shelter of Krishna at that point. So when Uddhava took that shelter, we saw that Krishna has instructed Uddhava from then onwards. That's all very important verses. In 7 verses, Krishna is instructing Uddhava. Shri Bhagavanu Vacham Prayana Manuja Loge. Verse 19. Prayana Manuja Loge. Lokadattu vijakshanaha samudharandi alpanam almanayvayishubhashayat. That Krishna first of all wanted to bring out this point that the desire for self-realization has to be on the top of everything. It is no point in getting an exalted guru. It is unless the recipient who is receiving this instruction is ready for it. This is another important factor. Prayana manija loka, loka tattu vichakshanaha. That Krishna is saying that people who had a very high intelligence level, not in the material intelligence, talking about the spiritual intelligence, who by two processes, what are the processes? Then pratyaksham and anumanam. We talked about that also. By direct perception or indirect perception. Either way, they have also come to, intelligent people has come to some conclusions. That's what Krishna is saying here. Prayana manijaya loga, loga tattva vijakshanaha. What did they see? They learned one thing. What is that? Samudharandi almanam. Somehow or the other, we have to elevate our own soul. Our own soul, from this conditioned state, it has to be elevated. Samudharandi almanam. Atmanaiva shubhashayad. From all the other unwanted propensities, that's like sense gratification. What we are addicted to, that has to be taken away from our consciousness. So that is for the first instruction Krishna is saying here. That Lokatattva Vichakshana, one who has analyzed and scrutinized this world, the principle behind this material world, they have already come to this conclusion that the goal of life is somehow to elevate the soul from its material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. Then, Almano Guru Almaiva Purushasya Visheshada Yat Pratyaksha Anumana Abhyam Shreyaso Shreyosa Anuvindadeem. Almano Guru Almaiva. The first thing, spiritual life begins with one's own soul. It doesn't begin from outside. This is the first thing to notice. Then Almano Guru Almaiva, one's own soul is the first step in the direction towards spiritual progress. From inside, when that desire comes for the living entity to realize the truth, after discriminating the temporary things and the permanent things in this world, and when one sees the truth behind all these things, that all that is existing, which is temporary, is also a product of Maya. And therefore, therefore, Krishna says here, Almano Guru Almaiva. One should see one's own soul as the Guru first. That's where the Guru principle begins. The Guru principle begins from there. Almano Guru Almaiva. One's own soul is the Guru. Because by acknowledging that fact, we are acknowledging that we exist as the spiritual entity. We exist as the spiritual entity. Almano Guru Almaiva. Purushasya Visheshada. And a person who has come to that realization, Krishna says he is very special. He is very special. Purushasya Visheshada. Why? Because in the next line, Yat Pratyaksha Anumanabhyam Shreyaso Anuvindade. By Pratyaksham and Anumanam, he will be able to elevate himself to a very, very high level. Very, very high level. Shreyaso Anuvindade. That Shreyas will happen to him if he has come to this understanding. Even if one has come to this level of realizing that I have to realize the self. And if he started acknowledging the fact that from the self everything has to come. The desire for liberation, that is intense desire, mumukshatvam we talked about before. That desire for liberation has to come first from inside. Simultaneously, you should start realizing the instructions also has to come from inside. Krishna is present there, guiding the living entity to go in the right direction. If it has not happened, we only have to assume that we are not ready for it, we are not looking for it, or we were looking in the wrong place. That strictly speaking, spiritual inquiry begins from inside. That's the point Krishna is making. Almano Guru Almaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshanam Yat Pratyash Anumanabhyam Shreyaso Anuvindade. That Pratyaksham and Anumanam, by these two processes, we can come to a very high level of realization. That's what Krishna is saying. Even simply by these two processes, Pratyaksham and Anumanam, one can come to a high degree of realization. Purushatyajumam Dina Sangha Yoga Visharadaha Avistaram Prabhashandi Sarvashaktipabham Hidam. Then, although Pratyaksham and Anumanam process is there, such people, they will go into Purushatvijamam Dhiraha. That among them, I call them Dhira because Sarva Sangha Yoga Visharadaha. They will acquire the necessary knowledge what is required from the Shastram, Sangha Yoga. Sangha Yoga is nothing but the part of the Jnana Yoga process. Sanghya Yogam and Jnana Yogam are not a lot of difference between the two. In the Bhagavad Gita also you can see in the second chapter. So, Purushatteja Mamdira Sanghya Yoga Visharadaha Avistaram Prabhashyandi Sarvashakti Upabramhidam. And by practicing this process of Sanghya Yogam, he will also acquire the necessary knowledge what is to open up Sarvashakti Upabramhidam. Then they will start realizing that Krishna's presence in everything. Sarvashakti Upabramhidam. So that realization will also happen.
Ekatrudhitrichadushpado bahubadastadhapada bahuvasandhi purasrishtastasame paurushi priyaham.
Krishna says, among many living entities I have created 1, 2, 3, 4 legged and many legged animals, he says. Among them, I am particularly fond of the human form of life. Because it is in the human form, this discrimination is possible. We have discussed that before. Why human life is so important. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna will say one important thing, that once he has got a human form of body, his only duty is to realize the truth in this body before the time is over. Because this opportunity, Krishna says, I have given to the human living entity only for this purpose, not for anything else. We abuse it and use it for so many other things. That's another thing. But as far as Krishna is concerned, human form of life is meant for self-realization. And when one does that, Krishna says, I am pleased with that. I give him all the help what is needed.
Atramam mrgayam dhyadhya yukta hedubiri ishwaram grihyamaner gunerlingir agrahyam anumanataham.
Then Krishna says that those who have come to that understanding, and or those who are continuously inquiring about the soul inside and thinking about them, that for them they will understand that with the mind, intelligence and senses, that they cannot achieve that. They cannot achieve that with them. But they will utilize it for realizing the same. They will utilize it also for realizing the same.
Atramam mrgayam dhyadhya yukta hedubiri ishwaram grihyamaner gunerlingir agrahyamanumanadam.
And then, in order to explain this, Krishna started bringing this episode of the Dattatreya Maharshi story.
Atrapi udaharan dhimam idihasam puradhanam avadudasya samvadam yado amida tejasaham.
Amida tejasa, that Yadu, King Yadu, who has been there and met this Avadhuda, the Dattatreya Maharshi, that meeting Krishna is going to discuss now.
Avadudam dijam kanjil kanji charandamagato abhayam kavim nirishadaranam yadu paprachya dharmavid.
That what kind of personality he was, this Brahmana whom he met. He was an Avadhuda. Avadhuda means one who has already gone beyond the Varnashrama Dharma. Varnam, four Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, four Ashramam, Brahmajari, Grastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. He has gone even beyond than that and comes to the stage of Avadhuda. He is not controlled anymore by the loss of the material world. Nothing bothers him anymore because of the high stage of self-realization. Realization also is in different degrees and different levels you will find with people. But someone who has externally, totally realized and completely always fixed up in the self-realized state, that is the state of this Avadhuda. So, what Krishna is saying here is, the opportunity has been given. What is that opportunity?
Kshutreshna lopa matre sadadakritadiya jandava sandhyanandoham.
That there are so many living entities Krishna has created in this world. All the living entities have this desire by nature. What is that? They have to eat, they have to sleep, and material, many, many desires in them. This is the nature of the created living entities.
Sandava jandyanandaste bhyo vijnanavatval purushavarajara sajjani durlabhaivaham.
But in that, among the living entities what Krishna has created,
stebhyo vijnanavatval,
that person who come to his senses and start thinking about life seriously and trying to understand what life is, they are very, very rare, Krishna says, which is the truth also, isn't it? Millions and millions of human species are here. Among the human species also there are billions actually in this world. But Krishna says only very rare. Stebhyo vityanavatval purushavarajana stavjane durlabhaivaham. That those who are inquiring after the truth are very, very rare, Krishna says. Krishna says they are very, very rare. Stebhyo vityanavatval. Only when that knowledge has come inside, that I have to find out what I am. I have to find out why I am here. I have to find out what is my what is my destiny after death, after leaving this body. Who am I? All these inquiries don't happen to ordinary people. It does not happen to ordinary people. Why? Because they are busy, like the Krishna says, like the Kshutrishna Lobamatre, busy with the fulfilling the desires of the body. Fulfilling the desires of the body. So only those who are very fortunate among them, Krishna says, Tebhyo vijnanavatval purushavaradaras tajani durlabhaivaham. Only very rare among them will think about this seriously in life. How to get out of this, that he has been caught up in this. And this is the greatness of all the great personalities. If you look back, all the great personalities in the spiritual field, they had this strong and very intense desire to free themselves from the material existence. And that is how they showed us the path. All the great acharyas, great devotees, this is all what they have done in this world. Then through their intense search for the truth, they wanted to free themselves from the material existence. Tatrapya atmanyasyal sukhrutabhijaribu yastayinyasta chedam. Now, one who has got a human form of life, tatra atatra alpa atmanyasal sukhrutabhijaribu yastayinyasta chedam. Then, when we get a human form of body, if we have a mind which makes us to think in that direction, that mind is friendly. That mind is friendly. But if we get a mind which does not allow us to think in the spiritual direction, that is our enemy also. Tatrapya balmanasyal sukhrutabhijaribu yastayinyasta chedastabe chitte rupayam. What does it do? That mind will help that by completely taking Krishna shelter, by completely taking Krishna shelter, yastayinyasta chedastabo chitte rupayam. What will happen is, when one takes complete shelter of Krishna, he will realize this is the remedy for all the distress in the material world. He will come to realize that taking Krishna shelter is the remedy to free oneself from material life. This is the realization of that person. Sukhrutabhijaribu yastayinyasta chedastave chitte rupayam. And if we have a mind like that, sukhrutabhijaribu Stabe chitte rupayam smaradi sahe sohal atma vairi tatonyaham. And if there is a mind like that, that mind is a friend. Krishna says that mind is a stabe chitte rupayam sukhrutabhi subril svatma vairi tatonyaham. And if the mind is not taking us in that direction, he is our worst enemy also. He is our worst enemy also. So, you can see our own, we first of all, our identification with the body. Secondly, our lack of control on our own mind because of our own strong vasanas to go away from Krishna and not getting serious about spiritual life. These are the problems in the spiritual area. When Krishna is telling us so many things, Krishna has opened up and put us onto the right track to tell us that the human life is meant for inquiring about the truth. Otherwise, you are wasting your time in this world, Krishna says. That's why, Kshutrishna lova matre sadadakrita diya sandhya vajyandhya anandostebhyo vijnanavatval purushavarajana stajani durlabhaivam. Tatrapyat atmanasyal sukhrutabhijaribu yastayinyasta chitta stabe chitte rupayam sukhrutabhijaribil atmavairi tatonyaham. Otherwise, he is our enemy, the very mind whom we are, who is driving us in different directions to enjoy the senses, that mind is considered to be our enemy. So, Krishna's point was that those who have come to this understanding, Krishna says, they should absorb in the thoughts of analyzing this world. And by analyzing and understanding, Krishna says it is possible to come to this realization to a very high extent. So, therefore, Krishna brought us to this point, verse 23, where Krishna says there, that Atramam Rgayandidhya Yudhahedabiri Ishwaram Grihyamaner Gunerlingir Agrahyamanumanataham. Then, after properly scrutinizing through the Vedic literature, like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and with their assistance, one should analyze this world, what Krishna has spoken about it, and that will stimulate our thought process, and we should be able to see the truth with the assistance and help of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he will also realize, because Krishna has spoken, that he will see the distress of this world, and by proper discrimination, he will get closer to his own individual identity, what his real identity is. Then, if he does that, even in this life, it is possible to come to self-realized state. That's what Krishna says there. Then, after that, Krishna talked about these two verses. Atrapudara udaharandimam idihasam puradhanam kavim niri avadudasya sammadam yado ramidate jasaham. Then, this conversation between Yadu. We spoke about Yadu, who Yadu is, isn't it? King Yadu. Yadu Amita Dejasa. Already he is a highly exalted personality, although a king, but highly learned as well. He was not an ordinary king in that sense. So this discussion happened between King Yadu and this Avadhuda. Avadhuda is Dattatreya. So what we have to notice here is, a king is coming with an inquiry. Generally, in those days, a king means what? King means materially very very strong, isn't it? All the facilities what one can have in this world is available for a king. Particularly the sense gratification wise, the palace and material comforts wise, everything to the full, more than anyone else in the country. And not only that, he also has the facilities. There is no one going to ask him to do anything. He is controlling everyone else because of his authority. That is the role of the king, isn't it? He is not controlled by anyone else, by the government or anything. And he has people to help him. Whatever he wants to do, he has got people to help him, provide him with all the support what he wants. So in other words, his existence in this material world is very comfortable. And he doesn't have to struggle so much. All the facilities are provided. And in that situation, to inquire is very difficult. Generally, the inquiry of the truth does not happen in that state of consciousness. Because of the materialistic situation was so good for King Yadu, this verse is saying here that this King Yadu, in spite of all these facilities what he had, he was still inquiring after the truth. That shows his greatness. And this is what is pleased to Krishna. That an ordinary person inquiring and a king inquiring is a big difference, isn't it? The king is well situated materially, but in spite of that, the king had the intelligence to see that the people who are rich or poor, everyone is experiencing distress in this world. That's the only thing we don't understand. Most of the people think that if a man is rich, he doesn't have any distress. That is not true. That everyone is experiencing distress in this world. Everybody is experiencing distress in this world. Maybe it's a different kind of distress. But distress is there. That nobody can deny that. So Yadu, like Lord Buddha, Yadu also realized very early itself that there is distress in everyone's life. And in order to realize that distress and to inquire for the solution from that is intelligence. That's intelligence. That's what is called spiritual intelligence. That intelligence Yadu had. Therefore, this distress, this material wealth is outside, happiness is inside, isn't it? Material wealth is outside, but the happiness is inside. So the inquiry has to come from inside. Therefore, Krishna says there that this inquiry, what Yadu has started at that point, is very significant. And because Yadu already, in spite of the fact that he was such a materially opulent and materially well situated, in spite of that, King Yadu had this serious inquiry coming from inside to find out the truth. And therefore, because he was qualified to be like that, when he saw this Avadhuta lying on the banks of the river, Kaveri River, that is where Yadu met this this Avadhuta, Dattatreya Maharshi. And when he saw Dattatreya, immediately Yadu realized that this is not an ordinary personality. This is not an ordinary personality. This is not an ordinary personality. Because spiritually advanced personalities, they have already weighed this material world and have understood what is worthwhile, what's worthwhile doing here. So here it says here that when Yadu met the Tatraya, he had proper understanding that there is some personality. How did this come to Yadu? Because of his realizations. Krishna has already rewarded him this proper understanding to identify such a realized soul. In this world also, sometimes we may see people, but we may not be able to recognize their greatness. Many often people are carried away, especially their spiritual realizations. We won't understand. That requires a special mercy from Krishna. It is through Krishna's mercy that happens to identify that right person who has got that and able to associate with that person. That is all Krishna's arrangement. So here, because of Yadu's history, what we have spoken last Sunday, that Yadu was given this special facility by Krishna. He brought him closer to this Dattatreya Maharshi, who was lying down on the banks of the river Kaveri. that they have, and the symptom of those personalities who have come to that realization is that at the time of death, none of these things will help. One has to come to that conclusion. It is a very difficult thing for most of the people to accept that. That no matter how much materially we have organized, whatever we have done in this world, while leaving this body, none of them can actually give us any support. Sarvam vyartham. Everything is waste. At the end, everything is waste. Marana samaye Krishna eva sahaya. There is only one help. There is only one source to take help from. That's Krishna. Sarvam vyartham marana samaye Krishna eva sahaya. Krishna is the only shelter at the time of death. Whatever elaborate arrangements we make in this world, for a living entity, at the time of leaving the body, bank balance, relatives, friends, wife, children, all the assets, properties, this, that and everything just goes back, leaves him at that time. Even if you don't want to leave them, they will leave you. Or even if they don't want to leave, you have to leave them. So, sarvam vyartham marana samaye. Marana samaye, at the time of death, everything is waste. Then what is worthwhile? Krishna eva sahaya. Krishna is there at that time also, who does not leave us. Krishna alone don't leave us. Everybody else will leave us. Friends will leave us, relatives will leave us. So-called elaborate arrangements we have made, everything will leave us. What will stay back is only Krishna. So therefore, this realization, those who have got that, they will not entangle, waste all their time in life to advance on the material side. That is the first discrimination for a living. These are, things may look very simple when we talk about it, but to go that deep inside is a bit difficult because it takes a long time. Our inquiry starts after living a material life for whole lifetime at the very old age when we become totally helpless. When the ambulance is coming, I want to chant Hare Krishna. That's when we start our Hare Krishna chanting. Not before than that. Before than that, we are busy with all the other nonsense in this world. Isn't it? So this is why I say sarvam vyartham marana samaye krishna eva sahayam, that Krishna is the only shelter at that point. And this is the realization of all the great souls, all the great devotees. Having realized that, they will see how Krishna consciousness, how to serve Krishna, how to become Krishna conscious in this life and prepare for the death. Yogaradova, bhogaradova. Yogaradova, bhogaradova. Sangaradova, sangavihinaha. Whether one is practicing yoga or one it is practicing bhoga, it doesn't matter. Sangaradova, sangavihina. Whether he is associating or he has no association, it doesn't matter. Yasya brahmani ramate chittam. One whose mind is absorbed in Krishna, nandati, 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 nandateva. That he is in bliss, he is in bliss. Only he is in bliss, nobody else is in bliss. This is important thing. You may wonder, in the Vedic tradition, so many things are spoken thrice. You have seen that? Always you will say three times, isn't it? Harer nama, harer namam, harer nama eva kevalam. Kalau nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gadiranyada. Similarly, doing three times, you must have seen in many things. We always say three times you have to do it, isn't it? Why is it like that? The reason is, we have three bodies. Remember, we are talking about it. Stulam, Sushmam, Karanam. So, while surrendering to Krishna also, all the three bodies you have to surrender. Not only this gross body. This is why it is said, in everything you will find, deity worship also sometimes notice three times. While chanting three times. Three times we make the offering. We just do it because we have been told to do it. Therefore we do it. But the principle behind it is this. That we are not only this gross body. That's the first thing. Stula body, stulam, stula shariram, or gross body is one of them. Sushma shariram is another one. And karana shariram is the third body. Stula, sushma, karanam. Which exists in jagrat, sapnam, sushupti. In three states also we exist. So therefore, and three modes of nature has influence on that. Satyam, rajas and tamas. So because of all this, everything is done thrice in all the rituals or while chanting the mantras and all, you will see this doing thrice because of this. So, here, Krishna is saying that yasya brahmani ramade chittam, only one whose mind is absorbed in Krishna, he has got any shelter. Because sometimes, even if yogis, great, great personalities who have practiced yoga system, even they realized at the old age that it was a waste of time. It was a waste of time. To give you an example, so many examples for this throughout the history, that in Maharashtra, there was a great personality called Jnaneshwar. Jnaneshwar. There were four children, Nivrtinath, Jnaneshwar, Sopan and Muktabai. The last one was a girl, youngest daughter. Among them, Jnaneshwar was the greatest personality. Many other great devotees were enlightened by Jnaneshwar. Jnaneshwar's realization is well known. Jnaneshwar has written this great commentary on Bhagavad Gita called Jnaneshwari, which has been translated to many other languages also. So this Jnaneshwar was once sitting with the other two brothers, Nivrtinath and Sopan, and the younger sister Muktabai, on a wall which is about 4 or 5 feet high. They were sitting one next to each other and they were talking to each other. By now, Jnaneshwar's popularity has spread all over the country. All over. Jnaneshwar's popularity was spread all over. He was such a great soul, highly realized, and was many people were approaching him in spiritual matters, to get instructed from him. And he was quite young, probably 15 or 16 years old. That was I think how Jnaneshwar didn't live very long. So at the same time when Jnaneshwar was there, there was another great yogi, Hatha yogi he was. He was a Hatha yogi. His name was Changdev. Changdev. This Changdev spent all his time in yoga practice, Ashtanga yoga. And through Ashtanga Yoga, you can extend your life also. And he has lived almost 1500 years. Changdev has lived 1500 years. looked after the body so well through yoga practice, and even Changdev came to hear about Jnaneshwar. So one day, Changdev thought, I should go and see Jnaneshwar and show my success in yoga abhyasam or yoga practices, and prove to Jnaneshwar that my Hatha Yoga practice system is far, far superior to what Jnaneshwar has achieved. So, while doing that, what Changdev has done was, he caught hold of a leopard and sat on top of that leopard and caught hold of a cobra and tied it around the leopard's neck and held it as a rope and started walking towards this, towards Jnaneshwar. Jnaneshwar at that time was sitting on the wall with the other two brothers and the sister. So they saw from distance Changdev coming on the top of the leopard, and anyone you can imagine, someone comes on top of a leopard, how you will feel it. And plus, a very big cobra was being on the top of this leopard, which was held by Changdev, to show that how much he had controlled over the matter, over the body, over other living. This is all coming from the yoga system. Yoga Abhyasam brings all these kind of things. So when they started approaching closer to Jnaneshwar, the others were looking at Jnaneshwar, what Jnaneshwar is going to do. Jnaneshwar told the wall to walk towards the leopard. So all four of them on top of the wall started moving towards Changdev. As soon as the wall started moving, the leopard turned its head back and started going back. It couldn't do anything at that time. Changdev realized it, that Jnaneshwar is not an ordinary personality. Because of the high degree of self-realization, all these Aishwarya Siddhis has already come to him. He has gone beyond and all that. But still, Jnaneshwar considered realizing the truth is far more important than all the other Hatha Yoga practices. So when young Changdev went back, he thought that he should write them a letter. He should write them a letter to show who he is. So he goes back and sends a message to Jnaneshwar, and he started writing the letter. What did he write? He started with a letter like this. I am 1500 years old. And 1500 years old person, what will he write to a 10-year-old boy? What can he write? How will you address the 10-year-old boy? 1500 year old person. This happened in the 13th century. Changdev, Jnaneshwar lived around the period 1271, 1275. That was the time when Jnaneshwar lived. So, Changdev sends write letter saying that I am 1500 years old, and sends this paper to Jnaneshwar. When the letter came there, Jnaneshwar's youngest sister Muktabai, she got this letter. She looked at the letter, and she said, her remark was, very good, 1500 years, but what use? Whole life is blank. Inside is all blank. What was the use? This was her point. In other words, even in this lifetime, even after acquiring such such mystic powers and perfecting Hatha Yoga system, it is all at the end a waste. One day the body will leave. It cannot live forever. It can go for a longer period of time. You can extend the life for quite some time. But at the end of the day, the body will leave again. The body has to go. So at that time, all these things go wasted. So that's why it's said that Krishna consciousness is a superior science, because this is the process which one can mitigate material existence. If you want to free yourself from material life once for all, or the material miseries, or don't want to come back here and accept another material body and go through this whole process of birth, death, old age and disease, the process is Krishna consciousness, nothing else. Another instance, one great personality, a realized soul, was sitting on one side of the Ganga River. He had a few disciples who used to come to see him every day, and learn from him about the science of Krishna consciousness. Once it so happened, one of these disciples, he was living on the opposite side of Ganga River. So he had to cross Ganga every morning to come and see his spiritual master. And in the evening, After spending the whole day with him, he will go back to his place in the evening, crossing the river again back. One day, when he was coming to see his spiritual master, he arrived at the boat jetty where they board the boats. When he boarded the boat and started crossing Ganga River, after a while he saw another person who was walking over the water, Ganga River. He was walking over the water. So this person got very impressed by that yogic power of this personality. And when they crossed the river and when they reached the other side, this person did not go to the spiritual master, instead went to this yogi. He went to the yogi and started inquiring from the yogi, how did you acquire this power? The man, that yogi said, I have spent all my lifetime in practicing this Hatha Yoga. Practicing this Hatha Yoga. And after such an intense experience, I have reached this state of that I am able to walk over the water. I am able to walk over the water. So how many years was that? He said, about 28 years I have spent in practicing this Hatha Yoga, and this is how now where I am at. This disciple was very impressed. So that day he got delayed, and when he got there, his spiritual master asked him that why were you delayed today? He said, what I have seen today is something unbelievable, he said. When I was crossing Ganga River, this person was walking. He was not using the boat like me. On the other hand, he was just walking over the water all the way from one side to the other side. And, oh, I see. So you were impressed by that, were you? He said. He said, yes, very much so. So did you ask him how long it took for him to get to this stage? Yes, yes, I've inquired. That's why I got delayed, he said. When I asked him, he said, it took him 28 years to become this perfection in this yoga system. So the spiritual master told him like this. He said, did you look carefully? That sometimes you can see a frog also can cross over this Ganga River. It can keep jumping one place to another. And it keeps jumping until cross over to the other side. And how much did you pay for the boat, he said. The boat those days was 10 paisa or something. It was a very small amount. He said, so it took 28 years for him to cross to get to this practice of crossing the Ganga River, which you could manage by 10 paisa. That's all it is worth. This was its point. Because how we get misguided in life, this is the point what Krishna is making. Krishna will talk about this opulences later. We will develop so many yogic powers, spends all lifetime in developing yogic power. And so many mystic powers we want to develop, and we'll go after that. And we'll forget the purpose for which we have started spiritual life. The yogi also has to come back, because that's not a guarantee that he will go back to Krishna. The guarantee is when Krishna accepts a devotee. That is a guarantee. So here, in the yogi's case also, what has happened was, just to show the point, that whether we practice yoga system, jnana margam, arma margam, whatever margam it is, ultimately, if one does not take Krishna's shelter, that's all a waste of time. That's all a waste of time. They haven't got to the point yet. That's what Krishna is saying here. That yogaradova bhogaradova sangaradova sangavihina se brahmani remate chittam nandadi nandadi nandateva. That we all do the same thing, isn't it? We also do the same thing. Our life is also not much different than the yogi. Only thing is, yogi is a little more determined than us to improve his life. What are we doing? Are we doing anything different? Throughout the life, we maintain this body by providing all kinds of happiness to this body, isn't it? By offering the body food, shelter, clothing, and comfortable situation. And this is how we have spent all our lifetime. There is no doubt about that. If these things are not provided, then we get upset, isn't it? And there is no another living entity more ungrateful than this body. After looking after this for whole lifetime, it will leave you. And it will die on its own. There's nothing you can do about it. So in order to show that we spend our time in decorating this body, beautifying it by scent and perfumes and gym and exercising and doing so many things, thinking that this body is me. And thinking that this body is me. But why is that? Because at no point in time we thought that we exist on another plane. We are always thinking we exist on the bodily plane. So long as we are absorbed in this bodily plane, we will not have any spiritual life. That is not possible. That's not possible. So in order to start spiritual life, the first thing is that this attachment to the body has to be broken. It has to be brought down. That is why it becomes very difficult to practice spiritual life when there is too much absorption in the body. And too much absorption in the body. Our consideration for the body is so strong because this is all what we are doing day in and day out. Eating, sleeping, and all other entertainment. So many things, whatever we are doing, is simply to give bodily happiness. Thinking that by maintaining the body, our existence will be better. But as I said, there is no one which is more ungrateful than this body, because this is the body which will leave us one day, and it will show its true colors at that time. No matter how much time you have spent in decorating this body, whatever we may do, there is no satisfaction. This is the nature of the bodily concept of life. Whatever we may do, there is no satisfaction. Never. There is never any satisfaction. Why I am saying this is, exactly opposite to this is what you are going to see now with this avadhuta. When one is freed from the bodily identity, what happens to that person? That is what is discussed in the next few verses. Avadhudam dijam kachil charandamagato bhayam kavim niriksha tarunam yadupapracha dharmavid. Avadudam dijam kachil. By looking at that person, avadudam dvijam kachil charandam agudobhayam kavim niriksha tarunam yadupapracha dharmavid. Bhagavadam is saying like this. That one verse is enough to explain that personality. Look at that person. It says, Bhagavadam, Krishna is saying here, what kind of situation he was there. Avadhudam. Avadhudam means one who has gone beyond varnam and ashramam. He is not even conscious that he has a body. He is lying there on the sand. on the sand or the street where Yadu has seen him. He is just lying there. Avadhudam. While looking at him, Yadu saw that he had a thread, the Brahmana thread he had. So he had realized that he is a Dvija, he is a Brahmana. Avadudam Dvijam Kashil Charandam Aguto Obhayam. At the same time, he noticed by seeing him, only Yadu could notice these things. Ordinary people, what do we say? We'll say, he's just lying there, probably a crazy person lying there. We will leave him like that. Isn't it? That is the materialistic people can't see it properly. Whereas Yadu could see Agudobhayam, that he had no fear at all. Absolutely no fear. Why? He has come about that also. The material existence means fear, isn't it? It is that fear that keeps us going in this world, isn't it? Material existence. Why do we go to work in the morning? Why do we go to sleep in the night? Because of the fear of material existence. Always anxiety. What will happen tomorrow? How will I maintain myself? What will happen to me? This has gone in so deeply inside, so we we are unable to give it up easily. And therefore, always making arrangements to survive on a bodily level in this world. That's what we do. So, whereas this avadhuda, on the other hand, avadhuda dvijam kachil charandam agudo bhayam, he has no needs. He has no needs. He doesn't want anything. When you have needs, then you have anxiety along with that. But when you have no needs, there is no anxiety also. Isn't it? So avadhuta dvijam kachil charantam agudo bhayam. That he has no fear of anything. Why? Because where does fear come from? Bhayam nidiya abhinivesha dasyal. Earlier we have seen that when you realize that there is the second thing to get, when you know what your real identity is, this is the symptoms of a person who is self-realized. A self-realized soul does not think that he has to achieve something. There is nothing to achieve in this world. This is all coming from the mind. Therefore, bhayam didiya abhinivesha dasyal ishada vedasa vibhayayo smriti. Kavi Maharshi said this in the, when the nine yogis discussed this with the King Nimi. What did Kavi say? Bhayam didiya abhinivesha dasyal. That when you think there is a second thing existing, there is no second thing existing to attain, to achieve. All these acquiring things in this world is only coming from the bodily side. It's not from the realized soul. Realized soul knows its value, so he doesn't need it anymore for his happiness. It's already there. He's in the blissful state. He is existing. So here, when Yadu Maharaj saw this Dattatreya Maharshi, Dattatreya was lying down and he had no fear in him and he was in bliss. Bliss means that he does not even know that he is existing in a body. That was the state of realization Dattatreya has reached. He was just lying down and looking at this world. While looking at this world also, he is not seeing the different living entities either. He is not seeing the different... Everywhere he is seeing Krishna's presence in all the whole creation. Everywhere in the creation. Imagine that state of consciousness of a person. That... Dijam kachil charandamakuto bhayam. That... He has no realization that I am this body. That has gone away from him. He also does not realize that I exist separately, because already identification with Brahman realization is complete in him. That, and not only that, because of all these things, blissful nature, and there is no anxiety, and he does not have another desire that he wants to know something. That is also not there. You see, when you have realized the truth, self-realization has become firm in a person, what is there to know anymore after that? There is nothing more to be known, isn't it? We go to school, college, and sometimes we spend the whole life studying this course, that seminar. This goes on and on and on. And at the end, we take it pride. Oh, even at the age of 85, he is doing A-levels. And they put it in the newspaper. What kind of understanding is this? Imagine. In other words, like Changdev sent a blank paper, it is still the blank paper. Nothing has changed in the person. He is still studying, acquiring this material knowledge. No end to it. Only when you get older, you will know these things. It was all a waste of time, whole life. In the youth, it is very difficult to recognize it. This degree, that degree, Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, Stanford, or everywhere, go and get all the degrees what you can get. But at the end, Krishna is saying here, that if we don't get to this state where the Dattatreya Maharshi was there, Krishna gives value to this, not to that. That's the important thing. This is worthwhile doing, Krishna says, because at the end, our conception is that the material life, no matter how nicely one lives, and whatever we achieve from that, at the end it has its own value only. It has only limited value, and that one has to discard it also at some point in time in life. But on the other hand, if the mind has turned to spiritual life from early days in life, he has a better chance of making a profit out of this life. Otherwise, it's a lost business. A business that goes into bankruptcy at the end. That is why Sudeva Goswami said in the beginning itself, what did he say? Janmalapa parapumsam ande narayana smriti. Remembering Krishna and leaving the body is the success of this life. Nothing else. Everything else is a loss, no matter who it is. Janmalapa parapumsam ande narayana smriti. Remembering Krishna, remembering all that, all that mercy you have received in your whole life from Krishna, and thinking about Krishna and going back to Krishna, and Krishna accompanying you, taking you back to his spiritual world. There is nothing greater than that. That is the highest achievement in this world. That is the highest achievement in this world. Not all the other things. Other things are temporary. They'll come and go. That is all Maya's creation. Maya's creation. Krishna's Maya is such a powerful thing sometimes, we can't even understand Krishna's Maya. Nobody understands Krishna's Maya. When Krishna's Maya, Nathada me priyadama, Almayonirna Shankara, Naja Sangarshanam Mashri, Naivalma Jayatha Bhavan. Krishna was saying to Uddhava at one point, Nathada me priyadama, Almayonirna Shankara, Naja Sangarshanam Mashri, Naivalma Jayatha Bhavan. That nobody is dearer to me like you, Uddhava, because you have understood what is to be understood. What is to be understood? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you see that if anyone can cross over that Maya, Krishna's Maya, nobody has succeeded so far. Nobody has succeeded in crossing Krishna's Maya, including Lord Balaram. Including Lord Balaram has to go through this sometimes. And even for Lord Balaram, Krishna's brother, and whom who Krishna also considers as his elder brother and treats him. But in certain instances, when you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how even Lord Balaram got victimized by Krishna's Maya. Want to talk about Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva meditates on Lord Balaram, Sankarsana Murti, as he is referred to. Lord Shiva meditates on Lord Balaram. In the Ilavrata Varsham. It mentions in the Bhagavatam. So, all those great personalities, what to speak about Brahma and others. Brahma and, compared to Lord Shiva or Lord Balaram, Brahma's position is much lower. But still, even Lord Balaram and Lord Shiva, they are bewildered by Krishna's Maya. So, that Maya, which is such a powerful thing, to give you an example how Balaram was implicated in that Maya. In a couple of occasions in the Bhagavatam, two or three places you will see there. Even Lord Balaram, for some time, he was also in a state of shock, seeing the situation. When Krishna went and got married, after marrying Rukmini Devi, Krishna had to, if you remember Rukmini Swayamvaram, the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini, Krishna married Rukmini and took her forcefully into the chariot and drove back from Vidarbha, from Rukmini's home, when she went to pray to Durga Devi on that morning. Lord Balaram arrived there with the army to fight all the other kings. While Balaram was fighting, Krishna left with Rukmini in the chariot. As soon as Rukmini's brother noticed that, Rukmini followed Krishna. And Rukmini won't leave Krishna and Rukmini. Rukmini was saying to Krishna that Rukmini is following us. Krishna says, let him follow. We'll see what happens. After a while, Rukmini got very closer to Krishna. By now, they have left Vidarbha. They are getting closer to Dwaraka. So at that point, Krishna stopped the chariot and started fighting with Rukmini. So when that happened, Rukmini also started fighting. Eventually, Krishna decided to kill him. But because one side Rukmini is standing there, how to kill Rukmini? That was difficult for Krishna. Because of the special situation, what Krishna did was, he cut his hair and and disfigured him, made him look very insulted him in that way by cutting his hair and made him look very ugly and left him there. When all these things happened, by now Balaram arrived after defeating all the other kings in Vidarbha. Shishubala, Dandavatra, Jarasandha, they were all there. He beat them all up and they all left and ran away from there. Balaram came back. When Balaram comes here, sees Krishna here, he has completely put Rukmini in a very awkward situation. Balaram says to Krishna, Krishna, what have you done? After all, he is your brother-in-law, isn't it? And this was not proper for what you have done to Rukmini. After you have married Rukmini now, and Rukmini is your brother-in-law now, and what you are doing now to Rukmini is not proper, and you should not kill him. And actually, Balaram who saved Rukmini at that day. Otherwise, Rukmini would have lost his life. But anyway, Balaram told Krishna that what he was done was not proper and rather he should leave Rukmini now and move away from back to Dwaraka. Krishna followed very quietly instructions from his elder brother. Goes back to Dwaraka. At that time itself, Krishna decided, with this Balaram itself I will kill Rukmini. With the same Balaram I will kill Rukmini. Krishna has decided at the very moment. And that's exactly what happened. Many years later, when Krishna's grandson, that is Krishna's son was Pradyumna's son Aniruddha. Aniruddha's marriage was arranged by Rukmini Devi. Rukmini told Krishna in advance, will you have any problem in arranging? By now, naturally after marriage, initially there was all these ill feelings. But after some time, like we also do the same thing, isn't it? We do the same thing in our life also. First we have problems with the in-laws, this, that and the other, both sides. And then after a while we all patch up and somehow we carry on together. But behind we'll be talking to each other, this, he's like that, he's like this and all these things. This goes on also. Anyway, Balaram has spoken all these things, but Rukmini eventually decided to get Aniruddha married to Rukmini's granddaughter. Rukmini's granddaughter. So the marriage was arranged. And Krishna said, everything is fine. I can come for the marriage. I will make all arrangements what you want. But I don't want to see Rukmini. I don't want to talk to him. I have nothing to do with him, he said. Poor Rukmini, she was in trouble. With one side brother, other side husband. What to do? So anyway, Rukmini said, at least if you come and be present there, that's enough for me. I don't need anything more than that. Anyway, Rukmini, because of the attachment to the brother, is still there. And Aniruddha was getting married. The marriage all happened. And these Kshatriyas have got one thing. After the marriage ceremony and all over, they want to have some happiness, fun. So they started gambling straight away. And all the kings were sitting together and they were gambling. And in the gambling, Kalinga, king of Kalinga, and also our Rukmini and few others who were together, they joined together and started telling that Balaram was cheating. They started blaming Balaram for that. Actually, they were cheating. And Balaram immediately said to them that you are actually cheating, not me. Don't talk nonsense, they said to him. He said to them. But they wouldn't listen. Meanwhile, from the sky, there was a voice saying that don't upset Balaram. There was a voice from the sky. In spite of that, they spoke in a very rude way to Balaram and started accusing him for cheating in the game, in this gambling game. At one point, Balaram could not bear it anymore. You know what will happen when Balaram can't bear anymore. He took this mortar in the hand and the plow and put onto the Kalinga king's throat and smashed him there. And by the second beating, killed Rukmini also. There and there. And Krishna is observing all these things, what was happening there. Krishna says to Rukmini, Rukmini, if you say to Rukmini, if you say to Balaram what you have done is right, Rukmini will get upset. If you say to Rukmini what Balaram has done wrong, that Balaram has done wrong, Balaram will get upset. Krishna says, Sneha Bhanga Bhayal Hari. I don't belong to this or I don't belong to that. I'm going back to Dwaraka. He says, come with me. Held Rukmini's hand and walked back to Dwaraka. That's Krishna. Krishna's Maya, nobody can play. Not even Balaram. Not even Balaram. If Krishna decides something, and if Balaram can't face it, what about people like us? What can we do with Krishna's Maya? And we are the people who are saying I'm out of Maya. Is it not? So, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see in 3 or 4 instances, even Lord Balaram has to fall into Maya. When that Akasura story happened, for 12 months, Krishna, when the Brahma completely covered all the cowherd boys, and Krishna expanded himself, and Balaram did not know they were all Krishna's expansions. It took 12 months for Balaram to know that all the cowherd boys, all the cows and the calves who were regularly going back to the Gokulam and coming every morning back to the forest again, he did not know they were all Krishna's expansions. It took a long time for Balaram to know. So if Krishna wants to keep something, he can keep it. Nobody can do anything about it. When Subhadra Haranam story, when Subhadra Devi was kidnapped by Arjuna, the whole masterminding, the whole thing was Krishna behind it. And how everything was brought together in such a nice way at the end, Balaram had to bless them at the end. Although Balaram's initial plan was to marry Subhadra to Duryodhana. Even that was stopped by Krishna. So like this you can see that Maya is not very easy to escape from Maya. It's not very easy to escape from Maya. That is why throughout Srimad Bhagavatam you will find Maya has been discussed in detail at so many places for this reason. That avadudam dijam kaschil charandamagato bhayam kavim nirikshatarunam yadu paprachya dharmavid. That yadu paprachya dharmavid. Yadu knows what is dharmam. He knows what is dharmam. Therefore, he knows how to ask the question. When you see a great personality like that, you have to know how to talk to him, isn't it? Otherwise, it's very difficult. It's no point when you see a great personality, go to him and say, let me give you a hug now, because you're my friend. That's not how you approach a great soul, isn't it? So, Yadu, King Yadu, because he knows what questions to ask, when you see a great personality, such questions we should not ask about, oh, how is the family? Or how is the children? These are not the questions to ask. But Yadu's questions were such important questions he was going to ask. That is the five questions you will see from now on, what Yadu is asking. That Yadu was extremely, his humility was very high. He was in a very humble mood when he asked this question. Then, interesting thing what he noticed was that he was not in a rush for anything. Who? This realized soul, Dattatreya Maharshi. He was not in a rush for anything. Because why? He had no more desire to achieve anything in this world. That things have all gone from the mind. Why do we rush in life? Because we have so many plans working behind it, isn't it? Because of lack of self-realization also. That we have so many plans we are always making. But when one has come to the pure spiritual platform, all these kind of behavior goes away from the person. That it is at that time that he has no sankalpam or vikalpam. You remember when we discussed about the mind, we said mind has two functions, isn't it? Sankalpam and vikalpam. That is the nature of the mind. Sankalpa vikalpam mana. Nishayalmiya buddhi. So these are the things related with the mind. So whatever it may be, our Avadhuta Brahmana was simply lying there, Dijam Kachil Chananda Magato Bhayam. And when he looked at him, he was very young. Who? This Avadhuta, the Dattatreya Maharshi, looked very young. Kavim Nirikshatarunam. Looking at him, he was very young. Why he was so young? Because of self-realization. Because of the self-realization. Normally, when one gets self-realized, whatever stage in he gets self-realized, the body from then on does not age. Does not age. Because why the body ages? Because of its interaction with the mind. Isn't it? The mind has a strong impact on the condition of the body. But due to self-realization, the body has not stopped turning anymore old age. It is still youth. That youthful nature was very much there in him. Kavim niriksha tarunam. Tarunam means that youthfulness. Youthfulness was very much present there. And what else? Kavim niriksha. That he was like a kavi. Kavi means, he said before, krantadarshi. Krantadarshi means one who can see things much deeper. One who can see things much deeper. We can explain all these things, but unless we experience it, we won't know these things, what it means. That kavim niriksha tarunam, that by his strong introspection and strong analysis, he has elevated himself to a very high platform. Very, very high platform. And he is situated in that consciousness. This we must remember, because from now on, we are going to hear about the realizations of this Avadhuta, the Dattatreya Maharshi. And you will see that some of the realizations what he is going to present here is things which are going on in this world for so long a time, only he was able to get realizations from that. We could not get even the smallest, slightest realization from any of these things. If you look from now on, he talks about 24 spiritual masters, isn't it? You're going to talk about 24 spiritual masters. And you start thinking, oh, all these 24 spiritual masters I'm also seeing every day. But nothing has happened to me. I didn't find anything worthwhile learning from them, isn't it? Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Apam, Agni, Chandraman, Ravi. Kapodam, Ajagara, Sindhu, Patangam, Adadil, Gaja. Madhuha, Harino, Meena, Pingala, Kuraram, Arbhaga. Madhuha, Harino, Meena, Pingala, Kuraram, Kumari, Sharavat, Sarpam, Urnanavi, Suveshakrat. These are the 24 spiritual masters. We'll come to each one of them later. But when we start analyzing them, you will see that this Avadhuta, when Yadu asked Avadhuta, the Tathraya Maharshi, how did you reach this state of consciousness? He is saying, I've learned all these things from them, he's saying. These 24. And these 24, we are also seeing every day in this world, is it not? At least five of them, definitely we are seeing. Five of them are the five material elements. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. So far, how many of us have learned anything from any of them, from these five? So, there itself, from the very five first material elements, he begins with Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Apam, Agni. So, from there itself, the Tathraya Maharshi is learning things. Just see that power of observation. Power of observation. This is spiritual life. Spiritual life is like that. You don't have to run around the whole world looking for this guru, that guru and everything. And eventually no guru, whatever it happens. But that is no use. At the end, this is what matters. This observation power of King, what Dattatreya Maharshi has spoken here. When Krishna said something here, that all the examples what Krishna gives is from this world. So that we should not think, oh, only if I go to heavenly planets I can know about spiritual life. No. Krishna says right here, in front of you, everything is there. Provided we have to develop that outlook in us. The way of thinking. How Krishna presented this, that's why Krishna's examples are all from here. Not from another world. Very much, much more practical. So that, to make us realize that there is something wrong with us, not with the world. That is where the problem is. So, spiritually, one who wants to learn something, all the facilities are provided in this world. It is not that you have to run all over the world for self-realization. Realizing the self is here. If we take Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand and see how the Tathraya Maharshi realized the self from 24 spiritual masters, and eventually he says that my 25th guru, do you know what it is? He says, it is my own body. He says, this is self-realization. That nowhere you will find a instruction like this. That Dehom Gurur Mama Virakti Viveka Hedum. Beautiful verses there in the Bhagavatam. Dehom Gurur Mama Virakti Viveka Hedum. That this material body has taught me one important lesson. What is that? From this body I understood that I should get detached from that body. So, there itself he has made up his mind. There itself he has made up his mind. Instead of getting day by day more attached to the body, I realized that I should get detached from the body as quickly as possible. Therefore, Deho Gurur Mama Viraktim. Virakti, detachment from this body is the whole objective. Not getting attached to the body. Not getting attached to the body. Otherwise, what will happen is, on the one hand, if you keep on getting attached to the body, and on the other hand, you are cultivating, trying to practice spiritual sadhanas, it will be like the manye kunjarasha uchavad, just like the elephant's bathing. Elephant is bathing, isn't it? Elephant, as you know, in the Bhagavatam, in the beginning itself, says that the mahout takes the elephant to bathe. For hours and hours, it's acres of body, isn't it? Whole thing to rub and scrub it, whole thing. And to get him cleaned up, it takes a very, very long time. So many hours, two or three men keep rubbing this body and the elephant lies comfortably in the water. And he'll be rubbing with the coconut shell or something like that so that to get cleaned up. Elephant enjoys that when it's all rubbed like that. And loads of water being thrown on him and eventually he gets up. When he gets up, the Mahout tells the elephant, if it is his friend, please don't throw mud on you again. That will be the only prayer he will have at that point to the elephant. Nothing else. He won't even tell him, even if you kill me, don't mind, but don't do this again. What does he do? As soon as he walks out, if there is dust, he puts it straight away onto it and have a nice shower on both sides. Have you seen that? In India you will see this a lot, but in other places also you will see that the elephant has this nature. So if our spiritual life is also like that, on the one hand, we will do a lot of things for spirituality. We'll chant 16 rounds. We will do get up early in the morning. We will do everything in a mechanical level. But inside this, a connection with the body is not going away. That's what he's talking about here. Deham gurur mama virakti viveka hedu. Body has taught me one lesson. What is that? I should know that this body is not mine. It has come to me, but it's not my body. That body, I have to leave it, because it's not mine. I have to leave it one day. That realization has to come. And the more that realization comes, the attachment for the body will go away. And what will happen? Viveka hedu, that it will bring vivekam. Vivekam means that discrimination in a person will develop from that. So, eventually after going through all the 24 spiritual masters, this was the realization, last realization, what Dattatreya Maharshi had, that my own body is my next last spiritual master. In other words, 24 plus 1, 25 spiritual masters he's going to discuss from now on. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a very important subject, this 24 spiritual masters. Why? It is important because Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham swajana bandushu. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? This sneham swajana bandushu, attachment for the one's own people and one's own relatives and friends and all that. Where did this develop from? It developed from the body, isn't it? Only when we are identifying with the body, all this attachment will develop from then. It is things that were built upon that. So, it is called Sneha Nirasam or Mamata Nirasam. How to free oneself from that attachment? How to free oneself from that attachment? And in order to explain that, Krishna is talking now this Yadu Maharaj story in the Bhagavadam, and to bring us to that understanding of Dattatreya Maharshi. So, we should also keep that in our mind while studying this 24 spiritual masters. 24 spiritual masters is an important topic in the Bhagavadam. Because it is through this that this principle is taught. What? Tundu sarvam varitejya sneham sajane bandushu. That sneham will not go away easily from inside. It is so deep rooted. So therefore, it has been spoken in this in this way. Like, the if you remember in the Srimad Bhagavadam, when Prahlada spoke to Narasimha Murthy, he spoke about 9 processes of devotional service, isn't it? And what were they? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. The 9 processes of devotional service. Out of these 9 processes, only 8 of them you can do. The first 8. But the last one, it has to happen. It is not something you can do it. Even if you want to do it, you can't do it. Because it has to happen. That's the difference between the 9th and the other 8. The other 8, with a lot of effort, if you practice it and train yourself, you can do that. But Atmanivedanam, the last one, is difficult. Because there is a differentiation between the first 8 and the last one. What is the difference? They are called Angi and the other one is called Angam. Angam means this Atmanivedanam is the heart of it. Atmanivedanam is the heart of it. All the other eight things are meant to take us to that. To take us to Atmanivedanam. Like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam. All these things are meant to take us to Atmanivedanam. Atmanivedanam is the heart of it. And Atmanivedanam, or in other words called Sharanagati, surrender, has to happen. That is Krishna's mercy. That is Krishna's mercy. So, when we discussed about this, we saw before that in that process of inquiry when it begins, the spiritual master's role we have discussed, isn't it? How a spiritual master should be equipped. He has to be a realized soul. He has to be a realized soul. What else? Akamaha. He should have no material desires in him anymore. And then, Akamaha, then Brahma Vitamaha. He should be fully realized in Brahman. Brahman realized. Completely Brahman realized. Then Brahman Yubarada Shando. That due to that realization, his peacefulness is complete. He is totally peaceful within himself. There is nothing disturbing him anymore in this world. Nothing disturbing him anymore in this. Brahman Yubarada Shanda Nirindhana Ivanala. That there is no more vasanas that is affecting him. That is no more disturbing him. And what else is there? Ahaituka Daya Sindhu. He is so magnanimous, or he is so merciful to those who come to him, that Bandur Anamatam Sadam. That whoever takes shelter of him, he offers him complete protection from the fear of material life. This is the ability of the spiritual master's quality, what we discussed before. When all these qualities, if such a spiritual master does exist, and if there is a disciple who also has developed proper discrimination, what we call as the Vastu Vivekam. Vivekam means that ability to discriminate things properly, and one who has acquired sufficient vairagyam or detachment from this material life, and when they meet together, there will be fire. That fire will be like this, that he will light that, the soul or the realization, so the process of realization or the desire for spiritual realization, it will be illuminated in the heart of the disciple. What you have to realize here is, you can, just like if you want to light one lamp, there should be another lamp already burning. Only from a burning lamp you can take the wick from that and burn the next lamp. If this lamp is not burning, the other lamp is also not going to burn. This is the principle behind it. Only from the burning lamp you can light it and burn another lamp. So only this lamp, when it is burning with self-realization, that lamp alone can help to light the other lamp. That, if other words, if this relationship does not exist, that relationship is not proper. This is what Krishna is saying. That relationship is not proper. Because of the self-realization, the science of self-realization is a very complicated thing, in that sense that the desire from the disciple side has to be very intense. And the personality who is offering the assistance or the helping him in that process, he should be already realized. Otherwise, this will not happen. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you want to find these things, it is already there. Only thing, one has to look carefully. If you look into the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find there, Krishna has an appearance as a fish, isn't it? Fish incarnations happens in the Bhagavatam. Out of the major 10 incarnations, one of the incarnations is a fish incarnation. King Satyavrata, he had the vision of seeing this fish. And when the king saw the fish, we talked about this at the time when we discussed 8th canto, that the fish appeared and the king Satyavrata, at that time there was a devastation. And in that water, the fish appeared. Krishna has appeared as this fish. And earlier the king was instructed to come and take shelter of this fish board the on top of the fish and escape from the water. This is how he was told. So accordingly, this was the fish when Satyavrata was performing his ablutions in the water. So he had this water pot. He picked this while taking the water with both the hands from the river Kadamala. In the water, the fish came. A small fish came. Satyavrata thought to take a living entity in the water while making offering to the sun is not proper. So he dropped the water there and picked another type again, second time the water. Again the fish appeared in the water. So few times it happened. So Satyavrata started thinking that this is not an ordinary fish. This is a very special fish. Not only that, the fish, when he picked it in the hand, the fish started speaking to the king. Fish says to the king, "Why are you deserting me?" he says. So immediately the king put the fish into the water pot and with some water in that. The fish started growing in the water. So king thought maybe the water pot is too small. He put him into a bigger pot. Again he started growing further. After some time the king realized that this is not an ordinary fish. And it is in the Bhagavatam you will see there, in the Bhagavatam you can see there that the fish became so big that eventually king did not know where to take the fish, to the ocean. It was so big. And he started telling the fish to walk to the ocean from there. And the fish walks and the king follows. Or the king walks and the fish follows him. How did that happen? Bhagavatam says, Vyasa Maharshi is saying, Sukadeva Goswami is saying there, because of the bhakti, the devotion of this king. And eventually the fish told, that story is all there in the Bhagavatam, you can read that. Not the story, it is just the fish incarnation, appearance of fish. So the fish says to the king that at the time of devastation I will appear again and I will instruct you. I will instruct you in the science of self-realization. So there Krishna has appeared as a fish and is instructing the king as the disciple. So if you take, there are a few verses there. The first verse itself in there is, Anadi vidyo bahidatma samvida tanmula samsara parishrama aduraham yadrcheho vasudayam apnayu vimukti dona paramo guru bhavan. First thing he addresses the fish is like this: Anadi vidyo bahidatma sambhava. That disciple is saying, the king Satyavrata Muni is saying to the fish, that fish incarnation, Anadividyalpahadova sambhava. My ignorance in me, I do not know when it has started. When it has started, this ignorance in me, I do not know when it has started, he says. This is the all of our possession. We don't even know how ignorant we are and when this ignorance has been seated in our heart, since when. If you ask that question, there is no answer to that, isn't it? Anadi. It's called anadi. Anadi means beginningless. No adi, no beginning. So, it's been there, this ignorance has been in us from time immemorial. Not only in this lifetime, so many lifetimes we have gone through this. That's why we are like this today. That ignorance has followed us and with the result of that ignorance is what has happened. The result of that ignorance is that we have to accept so many material bodies. Material bodies is the result of that. That ignorance in us has actually caused different material bodies. And what do? We add more to that ignorance in this life so that we can have more material bodies afterwards. Isn't it? This is our life. Life is, when you look at it from Krishna's point of view, from the spiritual side, our material life is nothing but adding on to our ignorance. So, anadividyalpahadomasambhavam. Then, this, what has it done in this process? What did we do? All what we have done, we have increased our ignorance day by day, with the result is that vidyobahadalpasambhavam. That we have forgotten our spiritual identity. That is what we have covered with ignorance. We did it ourselves by our association with matter and engaging in material activities. That's what the king is saying here. King is saying to the fish, that to the fish he is saying, that in several lifetimes I have added on my ignorance. Every lifetime I was working or doing different activities and increasing my karma vasana. More karma vasana means more ignorance, isn't it? Karma vasana means more ignorance. And more ignorance means more coverage. More coverage on the soul. Although soul doesn't get covered in the physical sense, what it means is soul, we are not able to come to our spiritual identity. That's what it means. We are not able to come to our spiritual identity due to this deepest ignorance that is covering the soul. So, anadividyo vahada atma samvidam. Then, tanmula samsara parishramaturaham. The result of this ignorance, how it manifests in us, is like this. Tanmulam, because of that, samsara parishramaturaham. That material existence, the more it gets deeper, it gets deeper in us, parishramaturaha, our effort will also become deeper effort also from our side. Samsara parishramaturaha. That is why that hard effort, hard work in life is only because of deeper ignorance. It is nothing more than that. This effort all the time in us to increase that, to counteract that samsara, material existence, parishrama aturaham, that it keeps increasing in us all the time because of we are increasing the material activities and we keep increasing our ignorance also along with that. And when the ignorance increases, along with that the effort also will increase. One is complementing the other. When we increase our ignorance, By our material activities, our ignorance will increase. When the ignorance increases, material activities will increase. And when the material activities increase, ignorance will increase. This is why one has to withdraw from this material activities at some point, because otherwise all of them is only binding us. It's not allowing us to release ourselves from this, from the material life. Therefore, King says to Maharshi, King says to the fish, that tanmula samsara parishramaturaham, that parishramam will increase day by day. It has increased considerably already and it's going on increasing every day. That you cannot even say when this avidya has begun. This is called avidya. This is what is called avidya. That why this mentality has come to us, we don't know where this started and how it came, isn't it? All of us, we are actually victims of this. That we have fallen into this bodily concept of life and this struggle for existence has gone on for so many lifetimes, and there it looks to us that there is no way of getting released from this. When you are young, you think, when you retire, it will finish. It never finishes. It gets worse actually. Because at least in the youth, the body was listening. But when you get older, the body is also not listening, but the world won't leave you. It will carry you in some form or the other. Earlier it was wife and children, then it becomes grandchildren and great-grandchildren and like that, it goes on. So somehow or the other, samsara parishra madhura, they won't allow you to escape from this world. This is what all this means, isn't it? Tanmula samsara parishra madhura aham. Then, and that avidya is in us in different forms, isn't it? It comes in different forms. Either we think in terms of, just like in the olden days it was Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, bodily identities. It's also ignorance. Or to think that I am a man, woman, another ignorance. These are all the deep-rooted ignorance. Because of the identification with the body is so deep in us, we don't think of it as ignorance even. We don't even think about that as ignorance. We think that is also okay. That I am a man, so what? So that's the way we think. But actually, strictly speaking, when we have fallen from our spiritual consciousness to bodily identity, They are all ignorance from the spiritual platform when you look at that. So Krishna is saying here that I have lost my real identity. That's what has happened. But the result of all this conditioning, what has happened is I lost my identity. Instead of my spiritual identity, I have accepted my material identity. And I am very strongly fixed in that. I am very strongly fixed in the material identity. So it is to go away from this material identity to our spiritual identity is spiritual life. So what the fish incarnation, when he is being glorified by the king, Satyavrata is saying this to him, that this, to shift from this material identity to spiritual identity, is not a simple thing. No matter how many times we hear this, it does not go away from us. That shows the depth of that, the depth of that ignorance in us, isn't it? That is why it doesn't go away easily. We always also ask this question. I've heard all this, but nothing is happening. Why is nothing is happening? Because the deepest ignorance is inside. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will talk about it in a different way. This avidya, this ignorance, it is very strong in the householders. That's another interesting thing. Because householders are those who become easily victimized by this because of their lifestyle. Brahmacharis and sannyasis normally do not have this problem so much because they are very free in this. Whereas householder, because of the connection with the family life, attachment to wife, children, then their welfare and all the social life and all the other activities associated with that, all this brings much more bodily identity to the householder. So in other words, what Krishna is saying there is, the householder has to be more cautious than the sannyasi or brahmachari. In their life, this possibility is less to get entangled in this way. But whatever it is, the point what Krishna is making in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look in the fifth chapter, there are two verses Krishna talks about there. Na kartrutvam na karmani logasya srijati prabhu na karma bhalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartate. Then this is a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Na kartrutvam na karmani logasya srijati prabhu. Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, has come to us along with this avidya. Isn't it? Along with the savidya, ignorance, these two things are also very strong in us. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. We have to constantly tell us these things, otherwise we will forget it. Na kartrutvam na karmani logasya sujati prabhu. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, this kartrutvam and karmam, doing the karmam, logasya sujati prabhu, the lokam, it is happening, lokam is doing it, the world is doing it. Why? Na karma bhalasam yogam. Even the results of the karmam is also not in that person's hands. Why? All these activities have happened svabhavastu pravartade, in his vasanas inside, which has manifested as his svabhavam or his nature. That is what is actually working. We find it very difficult to acknowledge this, isn't it? We always say, I've done this, I've done that, and it didn't happen, I didn't happen. But whatever we may say, from Krishna's point of view, Krishna is saying, na kartrutvam na karmani logasya srijati prabhu, na karma bhalasam yogam. Nothing, none of them is the responsible for this. Why? Svabhavastu pravartade. Your own svabhavam or the vasanas inside, that is what has caused this. And while executing the work, Krishna says to Arjuna, Nadate kasijil pavam na chaiva sugudim vibhu. Ajnan enavaram jnanam tena muhyanti jandavaha. If you read these two verses and if you capture the spirit behind it, you will understand what Krishna is saying. Krishna says there, Nadate kasijil pavam. Because we are executing karmam in this world under the umbrella that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. And I am also the controller of my activities. Krishna says, Nadate kasijil pavam nachaiva sugrudam vibhum. Actually, when the results come, sugrudam, or the pious results that comes from that, we think that my activities were pious. Isn't it? We think my activities were pious. Sometimes we say it about somebody, oh, he's a very pious soul, because he engages in pious activities. That, but Krishna is saying here, strictly speaking, ajnanenavrutam jnanam, your real knowledge is actually covered by ignorance. Real knowledge is actually covered by ignorance. And because of that, tena muhyanti jandavaha. Every jiva, all the jandus, Krishna says, all the living entities, they are completely bewildered by this deep-rooted ignorance which is covering the true knowledge of the self. True knowledge of the self. Self by nature is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. And but we are not finding any knowledge in the self, are we? What do we find? Full of ignorance inside. Isn't it? So, in this verse, Krishna has already said in the Bhagavad Gita, Nadate kasijil pavam nachaiva sukhrutam vibhu ajnanenavrutam jnanam. Everyone, Krishna says, ajnanenavrutam jnanam. Right from the President of the United States, right up to the lowest living entity in this world, is moving under the spell of these words. What? Ajnanenavrutam jnanam. Everything is covered under ignorance. All ignorance is that's keeping them going in this world. If you say this to the president, he's going to get upset with you. No doubt about that. There's no, but we have to follow Krishna. We don't have to follow anybody else. We have to follow Krishna. What Krishna says, this is spiritual knowledge. Ajnanenavrutam jnanam. So many big men in this world thinking highly positioned themselves or highly realized or whatever you want to say about them, you can say. But Krishna is saying here, ajnanenavrutam jnanam, their knowledge is covered. Their knowledge is covered. Why? If it is not covered, it has to be like Dattatreya Maharshi. That's what the point is making. If they are not covered, it has to be like Dattatreya Maharshi. But do you see any of them like Dattatreya Maharshi? What they do in this world? Even 6 years, 8 years a president gets, isn't it? Or, I don't know, here for 5 years the prime minister. In that they'll create all misery in this world and then they'll go one day from here. They will themselves suffer a lot. They'll create a lot of trouble for others. And throughout the world they'll disturb as much as they can and then they'll go from here. This is what all the modern great leaders in this world do, isn't it? So, why? Because ajnanenavrutam jnanam, their knowledge is covered. There is no knowledge in them. Tena muhyanti jandava. They are also bewildered by the material nature. Krishna puts it in two simple lines, everything, what he has to say. So, our Dattatreya Maharshi, you can see that he did not have any of these anxieties in him. That this identity, how did this all come? Because of the ignorance. This is good, this is bad. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. These are all falsities that has come within our... In all these things, what is actually manifesting is the false ego. The false ego. It's only the false ego that is telling us this is good, that is bad. Actually everything is bad, Krishna says at the end. Because when you identify on a bodily level with different things, we start seeing this is good, this is bad. But ultimately Krishna says it's all coming from the false ego. Then, therefore, when one is not released from this false ego and has come to the platform, what Dattatreya Maharshi is exhibiting here, he is not going to experience that happiness also in life. Happiness also in life. It is only, that's why he said here, Tanmula samsara parishravaturaha. The result of that is that he will continue to struggle in the material life, birth after birth. Birth after birth. People say that we are meant to work very hard. Do you mean to say that Krishna sent us all here to work life after life like this, breaking the bones? If this is knowledge, it is better not to have the knowledge. If this so-called working life after life, breaking the bones, and to in the name of advancement, it has come from false ego. It's a false ego that is impelling us and the leaders and the followers, everyone, to work and work. Well, it has come from that. But this, our fish incarnation, when King was glorifying him, he says, Tanmula samsara parishrama aturaha. And executing this work business completely gets exhausted at the end. And at the old age, it gets very difficult to switch from one to another. And then you say, oh, it's not possible in this life. It's not possible. When you start thinking about it, why? Because the whole life was spent on this. You never gave the priority to spiritual life. That's why it has happened. And when a conditioned soul continues like this in his life in this world, when a conditioned soul continues his life in this world, in that way, what will happen? Yadrachaya means by chance. By chance. Somehow or the other, we don't know. It has two meanings. One, yadrachaya. Yadrachaya means by chance it has happened. Yadrachaya also means by Krishna's desire. That also means. So somehow or the other, yadrachaya hova, yaho avasrudayam apnuyum, vimukti dona paramo gurur bhavan. It is in that situation, somehow or the other, by Krishna's mercy, this desire for spiritual life has begun inside, in the heart of a person, heart of an individual. Somehow or the other, he started analyzing life and scrutinizing the life. He came to realize that something else I have to look forward to in this life, except working and making money or living a comfortable material life. So when that thoughts come, vimuktido na paramo gurur bhavan, at that time, from inside, Krishna has arranged in such a way that the soul started giving the direction from inside. It is then that Krishna appears in the form of guru in front of the aspirant or one who is seeking the spiritual life. So, in this first verse itself, King Satyavrata told Lord Fish at that time that anadi vidyobhada atma sambhava adatma samvida, that this anadi, that avidya which has come to us anadi from time immemorial has made me to continue to increase this material existence by constantly entangling in different activities. And the result of that is I have increased my avidya, ignorance, and I got caught up in that. I could never free myself from that. But somehow or the other, by your mercy, yadarchaye hova sudayam apnuyu, that by your mercy I have come to my senses, vimukti dona paramo gurur bhavan, and you are that personality who is capable of releasing me from that avidya. Only by Krishna's mercy that is going to happen. Otherwise it's not going to happen, because it is not something which you can get rid of like other things. You can try very hard, but it will not go easily unless vimukti dona paramo gurur bhavan. That is why Krishna is called the supreme spiritual master, one who can release us from this contamination of the bodily identity, how we have fallen victimized by the body. And we increased our ignorance in life after life and identified with it. How to free oneself from that? That has only happened because when that happens, you will know that no effort is required for that. Why it is said like that is, this is not something which has to come from outside. All the knowledge, what is necessary, is already there inside. The soul has by nature eternity, blissful and knowledge. It is by nature, it's already there. What is required is to remove what has come upon that. And when it is removed, it manifests its own way. And then you will realize that what is liberation means. What liberation means. When this contamination or the dirt, what has come upon us, or come upon the soul, and it has covered it in the form of avidya or ignorance, when that avidya goes away by the mercy of Krishna or through the spiritual master, it happens in such a way that this ignorance goes away, and immediately he comes back to its true identity as the spirit soul, where he experiences the full knowledge. But in order, otherwise, in caught up in this karmam in this world, it is not easy to escape from that karmam. Karmam is a very powerful thing. That is why a devotee who is looking for advancing in spiritual life, he has to surrender to Krishna. He has no choice. And the more you become serious about this implicated situation, what we are in today, we will take Krishna consciousness seriously. Otherwise, we won't take Krishna consciousness seriously. When we realize that we are in a very unfortunate situation as we are today, only then, only when that realization comes, we can take spiritual life seriously. Otherwise, we will not take spiritual life seriously. This is an important point to remember here. That just like the karmic cycle, for example, it's like considered to be like a giant wheel. You know, this big giant wheel, like Alton Towers and all that. To tell you the truth, if you have sat on it once, then you will know what it's like. I sat on it once, that's what I'm saying. Unfortunately, I happened to go there, and everybody was watching that, and I also said, let me also sit on that and have a go. You know, the buckets like thing which goes to the top and then it comes down like this and it goes up again. So you pay the money, you pay money for it and you get inside. Went and sat in that. And initially it didn't feel anything very much. You think I'm facing it, it's such an adventurous thing. Thought. We sat there and there was somebody else who was sitting next to me also. I didn't know him, but when the wheel started moving up and up and up, when he came to the top, started getting a bit frightened. Seeing the whole, you could see the whole United Kingdom from there, from the top. And not only that, by then, the fear was building up inside considerably, seeing the way the whole thing operates. The person who is next to me was reminding me, only yesterday an accident happened and the man died, he says. So, when I heard that, I thought, why did I do this? But can I do anything at that time? Can I do anything when I'm at the top? He's not going to listen. He's not going to stop the machine. It keeps going, isn't it? It keeps going. And till the money runs out, it won't stop. Is it not? This is all our situation also in this world. So much karma vasanas inside, and in that cycle we are rotating, unable to escape from that. This is our true position. We will say, then we will blame Bhagavatam. We will say, oh Bhagavatam, I have no time, I have to rush here. Why? Karma vasana is pushing me there to go. What can I do? This is the situation. Reality is like that. So it's exactly like this giant wheel in the Alton Towers. So you go and sit there, till the money runs out, you can keep your eyes very closed, tight like this. And inside, you are praying, when will this finish? So this is the situation, is it not? So most of us, I'm sure most of you have also gone through this, either to entertain the children or somebody, you have gone there and sat on this once. There's also another thing called that pirate ship, which goes like this and like that, isn't it? I don't know which one is worse. So, whichever you may take, an example, either the pirate ship or the giant wheel, it does not matter. This body and this life in this world is that. There is not much of a difference. Very strong karma vasanas inside, never ready to take to spiritual life, wants to fit spiritual life in to the material life. This is our philosophy. We want to fit in our spiritual life into our material life. And with this understanding, if we can get some peace in this world, that's all we want from spiritual life. So that then it will be like that. The giant wheel also has to go on till the money runs out. So similarly, when the karma vasanas are such a powerful influence on us and we are unable to free ourselves from that, the only shelter is Krishna. This is why we have to become serious in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the science of getting out of this material life, material existence. Krishna was not wasting his time talking Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava and Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He did not do this just to keep us entertained. Oh, you can read Bhagavatam and find some stories there. No, that was not the goal. Stories are all to help us to come to this point of understanding that human life is meant for self-realization. If it is not utilized to that purpose, Krishna says, Ladhva sudurlabhamidham bahusambhavandi manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadhiraha. That I have given this most valuable human form of life to him. Krishna says, Ladhva sudurlabhamidham bahusambhavandi. That after so many lifetimes he has been in this giant wheel going on, up and down, up and down. Sometime king, sometime a beggar, sometimes this, sometimes that. And he has carried on traveling in this giant field for so many lifetimes. And what has happened? Manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadhiraham. That abhihadhiraha, only dhira, one who is very courageous, will pick Srimad Bhagavatam and go after Krishna. That is Krishna's words. Only one who is dhira, he will take Srimad Bhagavatam and inquire after Krishna, not adhira. Turnam padet yadet anamurtiyaval. Why? Because he knows that this body will drop one day. It will drop any time and it can drop any time. Turnam padet yadet. Therefore anamurtiyaval mishreyasayam. Therefore that person will become very serious in spiritual life. Vishaya sarva khalutasya. Khalu sarvadasyal, nishreyasaya vishaya, khalu sarvadasyal. He has already come very strongly serious in spiritual life. Why? Because in his own mind, in his own heart, he has come to the firm conclusions that sense gratification and maintaining material life is not the goal of life. Nishreyasaya vishaya, khalu sarvadasyal. That conviction has to come very strongly inside, and then he will free himself from this cycle of birth and death. So, first thing in spiritual life is to come to this conclusion. Because we have not come to that conclusion, what we want in spiritual life, we are always feeling that is this correct, question is correct, that question is there, this answer, that answer. We want so many answers only. We don't want to do anything about the answer. When you are told the answer, after clarifying everything, we will start our spiritual life. It's not going to happen. Krishna is saying here, Nishreyasaya vishayankhalu sarvadasyal. That he has to come to this platform of understanding that material life is of no use to me. At the end, I have to leave it one day when I have to leave this body. In order to explain this, there are many, many incidents mentioned in the Mahabharatam also. Bhishma Pitamaha talks about a story there. Once it so happened, there is two fishermen, they were walking alongside a lake. Alongside a lake they were walking. If you observe people who are fishing, have you noticed how their eyes, shifty eyes, look into the water? They'll be always looking for the big fishes which they can find, or the type of fish what they want to capture. So these two men also, these two fishermen, when they were walking along this tank or a lake, they saw two or three big fish there. So it was very late in the evening, and one fisherman was telling the other, look at them, those three of them there. Tomorrow we'll put our net here. They said to, one was telling the other, and we'll throw the net here tomorrow, and we'll get all of them tomorrow. They were talking to each other. So the three fish heard this conversation. Three of them, they heard the conversation. So out of the three were of three different nature. Three were of the three different nature. So one of them said, they spoke to each other, and one of them said, look, I'm not going to stay here. I'll move away from here. Because next to the lake, there was another field. Water was constantly, you must have seen how the water flows from one field to another. From the lake it flows to the field and field to another field. Like that, irrigation arrangements were there. So that fish escaped immediately from the tank to the next field. Straight away, he escaped. Another one said that, let's see tomorrow, before it comes, let's see how it's going to come and put the net, and I'll think about it at that time. So the second fish did not do anything immediately. But as the morning arrived, by reflection, on the night, through the night, the fish came to the senses and realized that I should escape, otherwise I'll be in trouble. So the second fish also managed to escape. The third one says, they have not come yet, we'll see when it comes. So the third one comes, the fisherman came, put the net and pulled the third one. Has to go with it. These three types exist in human species also. These three types exist in human species. Bhishma has given names to them. I can't remember all. One is called Dhirgasutri. The other one I can't remember. And anyway, out of the three, one is called, in other words, in technical terms, in spiritual life, we'll call one as eternally liberated. He knows not to touch material life, how to free oneself from that and escape from that. He is Nitya Mukta. He is Nitya Mukta. He will never come into contact with material life. Wherever he is, he will see the danger, sense the danger and escape. There's a second one who is and puts his effort and he frees himself from this, frees himself from the conditioned state. And the third one, which we are all, is the third fish, Nitya Baddha, permanently happily situated in this world. Never wants to put any effort in that direction, because we think, let it come, we will see when death comes. We will see what's going to happen. Who knows? Bhagavadam says like this. Somebody else said like that. So anyway, after death we will see what happens after that. Let it happen. This is our, the third fish, what Bhishma Pitamaha is talking about in the Mahabharata. So, for us also, it's not something which we can ignore. This is where Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, Ajamila's story is telling us this, that at the different prarabdham, whatever sinful activities what we have performed in this life or in the previous lifetimes, they will take in the form of Yamadudas. That is what comes in the form of Yamaduda at the time of death, and they will capture us at that time. And manifestations of different desires and different sinful activities, whatever we have executed by our mind, by our body, by our words, they all take different forms. And they manifest in front of us and drag the soul from this body to the next destination. If you remember the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Ajamila's story was spoken, it talked about this. That Yamadudas, when we say Yamaduda, what is Yamaduda means? Yamaduda is nothing but our own vasanas coming and our sinful activities takes the personification or a personal form and manifest in front of us at the time of death to drag this soul from this body to the next destination, wherever it has to go. So, if at the time of death, if those vasanas don't have to come and not to disturb us. On the other hand, for a devotee who desires to have not the vasanas to come, rather Krishna to come. Not the vasanas to come and Krishna to come and pull the soul from this body. That is the devotee's desire. Whereas for the other living entities who are absorbed in the body, and who are absorbed in the materialistic activities and entangling in this world with material life, they have to finish with that desire and they have to accept another body immediately after that. That Krishna calls this as dhiraha. So here, Yadu Rivacha, Yadu is saying here, kudo buddhiriyam brahmam akarto suvisharadaha yama asadhya bhavam loge vidvams charadi balavad. So, this is a very important verse, Yaduruvacha. Yadu is saying that Kavim Nirikshadarunam Yadu Papracha Dharmavit. That Yadu's questions are going to be spoken now. Yadu has spoken in five verses. Yadu speak five verses about the to the Dattatreya Maharshi. So you can see here the first verse itself, kudo buddhiriyam brahman akartu suvisharadaham, that Yadu was actually shocked seeing this personality. What shocked him was, kudo buddhiriyam brahman akartu suvisharadaham, that he was not doing anything. Who? This Dattatreya was not doing anything. And Yadu finds that very fascinating. Why? Kudo buddhiriyam brahman akarto suvisharadaham. His realizations were so complete that he had nothing to do. That is the state of self-realization. When we are not realized, we have a lot to do in this world. When we are self-realized, there is nothing to do after that. That is a long holiday we get after this. So it is better to work for that holiday than for this 3 weeks holiday in a year. Because that holiday is worthwhile working for. This holiday, as soon as you come back, we'll be miserable again for another 49 weeks. So, kudo buddhiriyam brahman akartu suvisharadaha. Then, how did you get to this state? This is why what he is asking. How did you get to this state? Because Yadu says, I have everything at home, all the facilities I have, and I have a lot of responsibilities also, and I am doing all that, but I am not feeling this peace, what you are experiencing. What you are experiencing. I am not feeling this peace. So how did you get this peace of mind? This was his question. What is the kind of intelligence behind it? This question came from Yadu. You see the word suvisharadaha, visharada buddhi. That is called vaisharadi. Krishna will talk about this intelligence later in the Bhagavatam. It's called vaisharadi buddhi. Vaisharadi buddhi means the buddhi which is controlled by Krishna. That's vaisharadi buddhi. A buddhi in intelligence that is fixed in spirituality. That is vaisharadi buddhi. It is not the buddhi which tells you two parts of hydrogen and two parts of oxygen makes water. That's not this buddhi. This buddhi is that buddhi which is so pure by Krishna's controlling it. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, if you remember, Krishna took the controlling of the buddhi of Arjuna. And buddhisthaniyan, who sits in the buddhi's position? Krishna sits there and controls. So when Krishna starts controlling that buddhi becomes vaisharadi buddhi. That's why he calls that word suvisharada kudob. Then, how did this intelligence comes to you? I have not experienced this. This is what Yadu was saying. Yadu was well learned. Yadu had deeper understanding of the knowledge, but he did not have the realization. This is the difference between Yadu and the Avadhuta. Avadhuta, the Dattatreya Maharshi, has already realized everything. He has nothing to study anymore. No more books to be studied. All studies finished. Because already it is being experienced by him. So there is no need to study anymore. This was the position of Dattatreya Maharshi. So, from when we come back from India, we will continue this 24 spiritual masters discussion. And you will see there that the Srimad Bhagavatam's, this particular part of Srimad Bhagavatam, is only to make us understand that spiritual life is not very far, it is close by. Those who are inquiring, for them a full meal is there in the Bhagavatam to look for. And Bhagavatam will answer those questions. And I'll stop there today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.